if we exterminate all the other sentient beings except the humans, then this world will not be suitable for us also to live. That's why actually we suffer more today. For example, the farmers, they use so many chemical fertilizer, and now we see many people suffer. And when there was a time when people used to have organic, just fertilizer, and those beings, worms and all those beings in the earth, they actually balance the situation. I remember one time there was in Sri Lanka. Recently, now we have so many chemical fertilizer coming up, and the companies, they promote these things, and they even give all those, they put up so many signs of their different chemical fertilizer names. This is for an example. And now farmers can step into the paddy fields with bare foot, because they get sick. Many people get sick. And previously, now the people have researched what is the reason, because they use chemical fertilizer. This is one example, okay? And previously there were the mice in the paddy field, and then there were snakes. So they somehow, balance the situation. And so even at our houses, sometimes there are situations where we have to respect many things. Sometimes even unnecessarily, we just kill without any intention. My advice, I think, is to clean our house, clean our backyard, so that it will be okay, and no other means will come, and things like that should be avoided. It is the best way, but we have to respect all the other sentient beings. I would like to ask Bhante's opinions too.
Maybe you can give me some advice how to deal with it. So if they say it's a wooden house, you can tear down certain portion where there is termite, and then you leave it in the backyard or whatever, let them go. So this is one of the options. Or you can make the, before they come, you can do some spray in the new house. So you are not doing any curing at that time. Before the termite come.
Well, but it's...
you can do some treatment on the wood.
The technology is no residual. You can only exterminate them. Like every 10 years, you have to exterminate them.
That is some house. I'm not sure about being American, but in Malaysia, whereby when they found some termite in their door, wooden door, then they just remove the door and then put it in the backyard, let the termite survive by their own, and then the chain and the door. This is how they do it in Malaysia.
Actually,
the termite is deep
under the ground. Well, it depends. Yeah, that's called subterranean.
There's one kind.
Yeah, that's
other kind
of
wood.
Yeah.
Yes, please.
I think a lot of people didn't know. Please explain what's a good benefit to learn Pali as a Buddhist.
Pali as?
Yeah, as a Buddhist, what's a good benefit to learn Pali? Please explain, because a lot of Buddhists do.
Pali is a language by which the early Buddhist scriptures were written. And early Buddhism is very important too. So Sanskrit was used as the medium for Mahayana Buddhism and Theravada Buddhism adapted Pali. So when we compare, we also see a lot of similarities between these. In Tibetan also they use Sanskrit. So Pali and Sanskrit are Indo-Aryan languages, very ancient languages. And most of the South Asian and Southeast Asian countries, they still use Pali in the entire Tipitaka or the canonical Buddhist canons, including the commentaries, the sub-commentaries, sub-sub-commentaries. The entire Tipitaka have been written in Pali. So we do have the complete version of Tipitaka in Pali. That is a wonderful thing for us to learn Pali. Some people learn Pali. It's important to learn Pali because it gives us an opportunity to go into the, you know, deep into the Dhamma. And sometimes we do have translations. Of course, now we also have translation, you know, softwares and all. But we need to learn the Dhamma ourselves because we find many translations. Translation itself is an art. It's very difficult. For example, I say a story to you, I tell a story to you, all these people, you know, you grab that in different ways. You explain to other people in your own fashion, you know. So translation also is like that. There are some words which are very difficult to translate. For example, Dhamma. It's such a multi-meaningful word which is very difficult to translate. Kamma, kusala, you know, many things are there for other people can't really, it's difficult to translate. And of course, translation is not only the superficial meaning. When you translate, we also have to think of the cultural baggage that is tied to the word. So Pali, when we try to translate into, for example, English, there are many difficulties. Many difficulties are there. Because those cultural differences are attached to the language itself. So it's important for you to learn the language. Then it will help you realize yourself, and then you can, of course, understand the Dhamma. So I don't think reading the translation alone will be enough. It's better to, because if you compare those translations, there are many different changes. For example, Pali Text Society was established long back, and they have done a remarkable job in collecting all those Buddhist materials, scriptures. Pali Text Society was instrumental in collecting many Pali texts from all those different countries. From Sri Lanka, from Myanmar, from Thailand, from Cambodia, you know, all those countries, they had these Pali texts, and they actually put them together. And we still have to work on those things. I found there are still some texts which have not been translated into English. Okay, so still work to be done. And so it's good to learn Pali. Once you learn Pali, you will also realize that, oh, in Chinese Buddhism also, in Tibetan Buddhism also, we also have almost the same concepts. Sometimes we are so far away, we have been dragged to such extremes that we think, oh, this is our own and others are all false. That is, these are the kind of things that we, you know, we live with it when we learn only one. So I think it's very good. For example, today we have many opportunities to get all those scholars together, compare and contrast and see what is beneficial to us. Many more benefits.
Very good translation.
Yes.
I don't believe the Buddha talked about shamanic practices, the shamans,
mm-hmm.
and about entities that would invade one's aura. I wondered if you had any thoughts about it. My only thinking about it is if you were steadfast in or integrous within yourself, then you shouldn't be bothered about these other entities invading your aura. But it seems to be a very prevalent thought processing within the shamanic practices. Do you have any thoughts about that?
In Buddhism, we have such wonderful concepts like metta, which is unconditional love and compassion, universal love to each and every sentient beings. There's no barriers. And all the other spheres or ghosts or whatever, you know. What I feel, for example, now we have all our friends here. We can see them, right? We have our parents, children, family members and all. Sometimes it's very unfortunate that when they die, you really are so scared of them. They think, oh, they are ghosts or they are spirits, and you are scared of them. Why should we? Because when they were living, they were so dear to us, so near to us. And when they die, you are scared of them. You try to drive them away from you, you know. In many Pali Suttas, we have situations where when they die, they don't go away. They just stay around, hang around with their relatives, you know, friends. And so, sometimes when you hear of them, or some sounds or whatever, you know, those things happen, you are scared and you try to harm them or you try to disturb them. That is where all these problems happen. The power of metta can be a wonderful tool actually to deal with them. You may have so many seen and unseen beings around, so please have metta to them. When you enter a house, take permission from them. Be grateful to them, thankful to them, you know, so maybe they don't disturb you. But if you try to kind of disturb them, there will be some problems. Because we don't know what power they have. They can be very powerful beings too. But if you are like kind of take that advantage into yourself, maybe the power of metta, right? Why do we have enemies? We don't need to have enemies. If you have enemies, you know, seen and unseen, both enemies can harm you. It's very dangerous. But if you have friends, they will protect you. Seen and unseen, they can protect you. I think to deal with all these spirits around, best way is to pay respect to them. Transfer merits to them, you know, so that they can also be happy and they will protect you. There was a wonderful story last time we heard from Mr. Andy. You know, he himself told how he dealt with such a situation. He transferred merits and he invited the great Sangha members to his house, and in the course of time he found all those disturbing factors simply disappear. That means they are still there, but they don't disturb you. How many people are there in this world? For example, we think this land, this building belong to somebody, right? But you really can't say, because some centuries ago there are so many other owners of this land. They can still be here, right? According to Buddhism, it is said, like we humans have like 100 years. 100 years here is one day in some deva worlds. So it's like they will survive for too long and they will be still here. And when you find or you hear or you experience the presence of such beings, you really scared, you don't have to. Just like you are scared of those other insects and other beings, you are scared of all the other spirits and all. So I think it's better time for us to think the world does not belong only to us. We will live, if we want to live, we will have to live together. United we stand, divided we fall. So it's beautiful if we can live, coexist with peace and harmony with everyone. They don't harm you. Even if there are snakes, or Buddha, for example, he lived most of his lifetime in the jungle. He was never bitten by a snake. And most of those practitioners, they live in jungle. They were not disturbed by them because they lived in harmony. They know how to live with them. And many practitioners, they practice in the cemeteries. They don't have any problem. Why? They transfer merits. They respect them. You know, respect is something that's very important to seen and unseen beings. Very important. Think the power of metta can be the best answer that we have to deal with all these situations.
Sadhu. Sadhu.
Are you?
I just wanted to say that I guess when you talk about this, them disturbing you, that would equate to attaching spirits. I've heard this term before. Attaching spirits that would attach to drug addicts, say. Is that something like that? Well, they talk about drug addicts and having attaching spirits. So when they say attaching spirits, it's really these entities that would be disturbing them. Is that a fair statement, like you talked about?
I think we need a better translation. Say in Chinese maybe, and somebody translating?
I've heard it in the Chinese, like like the hungry ghosts, they're disturbing you because you're depressed as a human being, and they bother you a lot. And then there are rituals that are carried out to remove these spirits. Is that true? I mean, it's like when you're a drug addict, this is what I have heard. You have attaching spirits.
No. So if you are a drug addict, you can be attached not only to spirits and but also to other negative spirits, negative energy all over. Because you yourself are taking drugs. So that is your problem, right? So you can blame the spirits for that. Because you yourself are responsible for that. And you have to come out of that. Is why we need the association of good friends, spiritual friends, for us to, you know, teach, guide when we are in off the track, when we are in trouble. These great spiritual masters, teachers, they can help us in many ways. In America also, this is a great, I think, challenge for many parents today. Children are having bad association, they can go into many difficulties and difficult situations. That is because, not because of the ghosts, not because of those unseen things, actually because of your own problem. Humans have the capacity to survive anything. Imagine, in Theravada Buddhism, okay, only a human being can become a Buddha. They are so powerful. Devas, they have very limited power to do any merits. They actually enjoy their life. Whatever they have done here, they enjoy the fruits of it. But we have the capacity to do many, many good things. So we should not blame those innocent, helpless ghosts, you know, or spirits, because they need our help actually. We need to do good things for them and transfer merits to them. Maybe that is the thing. We need to identify, recognize our power and do our life, live our life in a better way, so that we can be better human beings. Yes.
This is kind of like beyond the meditation. This question is beyond the meditation. In when it comes to donation, for example, a homeless. Okay, I've seen two different saying that. One branch says that you should not donate to them because you make them dependent on it. And there's a saying says that you donate for the urgency, not for for the poor, because it becomes habitual. And that's one way of saying it. And another branch says that, oh, you should just donate to them. The homeless or whoever that needs help, you should just donate to them. And I actually, this is kind of conflicting in my mind, because I can see that sometimes when I drive off the freeway off ramp, there's somebody there asking for money, and he looks fully healthy to me, maybe even stronger than me, and he's just asking for money. Mm. And I can see that a lot of people actually give him the money, and I do some calculation, and I was like, this is better than minimum wage. He can get more than minimum wage by just standing on the freeway off ramp and asking for money. And why he need to go to work? That's his job. And so that's kind of conflicting to me, that should I help or should I just ignore it? That's, I really don't know what's that.
When we give something to others, are we giving and still following up? We give something, okay, and then you forget it. You still want to follow up what that guy doing, whether he is taking drug or whether he is really, we don't know, we never followed him. We don't know what whether he really is hungry, he is helping his family or whatever. It doesn't really matter. It is material when it comes to giving. You just give. You are very rich. You are more spiritually richer than him. Maybe he has more money. But why many people, there are many rich people, they don't give. They don't have that richness, spiritual generosity. So we have the opportunity, somebody is in front of you. He appears in front of you. You have an opportunity to give something. Imagine. You meet this guy and next you don't give that guy, and next moment you meet with an accident, you die. You know, just imagine, I'm just, you know. And if you give something, you know, it doesn't matter. Whether he is a monster, whether he's a drug addict, whether he is whatever. What's important for you is to give. You have an opportunity. Buddha said, when you find such people, think of them as an angel in disguise. You have an opportunity to give, practice this give. Don't follow up. Sometimes I also see people, I built this temple, okay, so this is my temple. And so they are so attached to. Then what is the meaning of giving? You just give it, that's it. You don't have to follow up. You are more attached to that property than other people. Then it doesn't make any sense, you know. So let's make it positive, I think. When you give, don't think about whatever he does think. You know, we don't know, we don't have to worry actually. We just give and be happy and transfer merits. Let us also pray for him, that person, may he be well and happy and healthy. Let us also transfer to all our departed relatives with the power of this, may they all be well and happy and healthy. Very, you feel that energy if you give with that intention. If you give it that intention, if you give and repent, I gave money to a drug addict, you repent. So you really suffer, right? And you, that guy, he had a cup of coffee or whatever he wanted, but you are the one carrying this. You are the one carrying the bad karma within you. So it really does not help. Let us purify ourselves. When you give something, no ill will, you know, full of compassion and no bad intention. Before giving, while giving, and even after giving, we don't have lobha, we don't have dosa, we don't have moha. Lobha means the greed. Dosa means the aversion, the anger or hatred, and moha means by giving this, I can generate a good positive energy. You feel it. I'll tell you a story. Sometimes I also encounter many homeless people here. I have some change in the car, so when I see, when I have an opportunity, I give them, and they tell me, God bless you. You know, I feel really honored, very happy to hear, because whatever he say, it really strikes our heart, and I feel very happy. I transfer merit to him, I transfer merit to my departed relatives, and I feel very happy. So I don't want to worry about whatever happens. People say they are more richer than others, and so if you think of that, you can really give. You can really give them. And there are rich people, if they also want some money, if you have, give them. Because you are more richer, you are more wealthier than other people. So it doesn't matter. Materially, they are rich, but spiritually, you are much more richer. Only they can give. Others will find excuses not to give. So don't fall into that trap. When there is an opportunity, peacefully, happily, please give. That is the best way. That's what I think. Does Bhante have
a marvelous answer?
Any more questions? There are some stories about the Buddhist literature. Some devas, you know, the celestial beings, they also come in disguise as beggars to test some individuals. So when you see them, homeless people or something, you just imagine they are all those angels in disguise. They are trying to test you, test your generosity. And also, we don't know, okay? Sometimes people may be shabby and look dirty and look poor, but they can be spiritually very rich too. Maybe spiritually richer than you. They can be living arahants, for example. They don't have, you know, very costly things. They can live a very simple lifestyle. Spiritually very rich though. So whenever you see them, please don't disrespect the homeless people. There can be very rich people among them too. So we have to respect. That's very important. Important to respect. Among the drug addicts or whosoever, we don't know, right? So we will have an unconditional, we will try to, you know, develop, improve that unconditional love to all sentient beings. Whether it is drug addict, whether it is murderers, robbers, whosoever. If Buddha had a different attitude, we would never find Angulimala becoming an arahant. Even after killing 999 people, Buddha accepted him and he became an arahant. Can you imagine? Yes. So we have to actually learn more and more from these great individuals, how they adapted in different occasions. And the story of Patachara is also a wonderful story, you know. She lost her husband, she lost her parents, she lost her two children right in front of her eyes. Okay, she had two children, so one small baby, she had to cross the river and she had to keep one child on the bank, and she took one baby to the other shore, and in the middle of the river she saw eagle or vulture, saw this small baby and snatched away. Already she lost her husband, she lost her parents, and then she's still, so she actually lost everyone. She became crazy. It's natural, right? She became crazy. She went, ran here and there like a homeless person. And she had no, everyone started pelting stone at her, naming her so many ways, abusing her. She ran here and there, and so people somehow, unfortunately, some good hearted person directed her to the Jetavana monastery where Buddha was preaching the Dhamma. And she ran naked. She was almost unconscious and went to the middle of the assembly. Somebody threw a cloth, and the Buddha, you know, did not avoid her. He called him so much of compassion, with so much of compassion, "Sister, come. Sister, come. Sister, wake up." She woke up. She really, really woke up. She not only woke up from this material sleep, she really woke up from the entire sansaric slumber, deep slumber, and she became an arahant after hearing the Dhamma talk. See how we sometimes, you know, we don't have compassion to those beings who really need our help. There are so many beings in this world who need our help. We waste food. We have to think of the people, like thousands of people in Africa, India, many poor countries, they die. We have to think. We have to, you know, be compassionate to them. I heard Handy last time saying about the Diamond Sutra. What is that?
Diamond Sutra?
About the hell being, you said last time?
Huh? Oh, yeah. Earth of Buddha.
Yeah, could you please repeat that sentence again?
Oh.
Until the last... that's how he was inspired, okay? Until the last hell being is delivered, I will not become a Buddha. Such great compassion, boundless compassion, right? So we all have to be actually, in our own capacity, we have to be compassionate to all sentient beings. Especially those who are in need of our help. Please be compassionate to them. Even to the animals, even to the nature, if we love them, if we respect them, if we take care of them, they will take care of us. Right? So we can live in harmony with everyone. Thank you.
Any more questions?
Do you want to chant a portion of Badana? Since your voice is so attractive. I beg you, you know, to give us melody.
Yeah.
For our meditation retreat and all the beings. Just anyone. I'm a beginner of Badana. So I request you.
Beginning of
Vandana? Yeah, Vandana with your Hari voice.
Yeah. Are you okay? Okay, let me then recite some of the citations to, in order to invoke blessings upon all of you so that you may be well and happy and healthy. May all of you, all your family members, parents, children, spouse, everyone around, be well and happy and healthy. May all beings, spiritual friends who are gathered here, seen and unseen, be well and happy and healthy. With the power of all those meritorious activities that we have been accruing last few days and during our lifetime, with that intention, let us keep our palms together close to our heart and meditate.
Sabbitiyo ivajjantu sabbarogo vinassatu mate bhavantvantarayo sukhe dighayuko bhava bhavatu sabba mangalam Rakkhantu sabba devata sabba buddhanu bhavena sada sotthi bhavantu te bhavatu sabba mangalam Rakkhantu sabba devata sabba dhammanu bhavena sada sotthi bhavantu te Bhavatu sabba mangalam Rakkhantu sabba devata Sabba sanghanu bhavena Sada sotthi bhavantu te Nakkhatta yakkha bhutanam Papaggaha nivarana paritasanu bhavena hantu te saṁ paddave nakhatta yakha bhūtānaṁ pāpaggahānivārana paritasanu bhavena hantu te saṁ paddave nakhatta yakha bhūtānaṁ pāpaggahānivārana parittasānu bhāvena hantu te saṁ paddave yandum nimittaṁ avamangalaṁ ca yocāmanāpo sakunassa saddo pāpaggahodo supinaṁ akantaṁ buddhānubhāvena vināsamintu yandum nimittaṁ avamangalaṁ ca yocāmanāpo sakunassa saddo pāpaggahodo supinaṁ akantaṁ dhammānubhāvena vināsamintu yandum nimittaṁ avamangalaṁ ca yocāmanāpo sakunassa saddo pāpaggahodo supinaṁ akantaṁ saṅghānubhāvena vināsamintu dukkhappattā ca niddukkhā bhayappattā ca nibbhayā sokappattā ca nissokā hontu sabbe pipānino sabbe buddhā balappattā paccekānaṁ ca yaṁ balaṁ arahaṁ thānaṁ ca tejena rakkhaṁ bandhāmi sabbaso
sādhu sādhu sādhu.
Let's pay respect to
අභිවාදන සීලස නිච්ඡං වද්ධා පචායිනෝ චත්තාරෝ ධම්මා වද්ධං තී ආයුවං නෝ සුඛං බලං ආයුරාරෝග්‍ය සංපත්ති සග්ග සංපත්ති මේවච අතෝ නිබ්බාන සංපත්ති ඉමිනාතේ සමිච්ඡතු
සාදු.